Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, July the 18th. Should churches, synagogues, and mosques offer sanctuary for illegal immigrants? A Milwaukee immigrants' rights group is asking congregation to offer financial help and moral support to illegal immigrants, including shelter to those facing deportation. And according to an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this week, a small but growing number of churches are signing on to the effort, known as the New Sanctuary Movement. Would you want your church to do this? We'll talk with someone with the group behind the effort, and we will wonder if you support it or why not, and whether you agree with the claim that this is a moral issue, and that religious groups should help those hurt by immoral U.S. policies. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Should churches and other religious organizations provide help to people who are in this country illegally? Our guest is Joanne Lang, volunteer coordinator of the New Sanctuary Movement for Voces de la Frontera, a worker center in Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel group also described your group as an immigrants' rights group. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
Yeah. Tell us what this New Sanctuary Movement is all about.
Well, the New Sanctuary Movement is the coalition of interfaith leaders and congregations, and we feel called by our faith to respond actively and publicly to the suffering of immigrants residing in the United States. We're comprised of Catholics, Jews, Muslim, and Protestant denominations from across the country and from diverse communities.
And what are you doing specifically in, are you just working with churches and synagogues and such in southeastern Wisconsin right now?
Right now, we're working in southeastern Wisconsin, that's right. We're concentrating on the city of Milwaukee. That's where the offices of Voces de la Frontera is located. There is a satellite office in Racine, Wisconsin. We are contacting churches and congregations, et cetera, throughout southeastern Wisconsin, asking them to participate in the New Sanctuary Movement, which is really a broad invitation. That means that the congregation could agree to host an immigrant family, and we usually specify for only 3 months because it's such a tremendous responsibility. We ask them perhaps to be part of a larger network that will then provide material and spiritual support to the family and to the congregation that is hosting the family. We ask, as part of this movement, for the church to declare the Milwaukee faith community a sanctuary community. We ask them to stand up and oppose raids by the federal and local enforcement agencies. We ask them to support victims of raids, such as the victims of the raid in Whitewater, Wisconsin, last year in August. And we ask them to be very, very public in their support by being available for press interviews in order to publicize this movement.
Yeah. When you say that you want to alleviate the suffering of the immigrants, what sorts of suffering are you talking about?
Well, the immigrants at this point live in great fear. With no reform in the immigration legislation since that was dropped by the Senate, they are very fearful that there will be a raid at their place of employment, that they will then, as a result, be separated from their family through detention and eventually through deportation. This is the greatest suffering, sitting in fear of what might come.
Yeah. And your response to those who say that the immigrants living in this fear are living in this fear because they're in this country illegally and they shouldn't be here is?
Well, we go back to, to the right of people to migrate. The National Conference of Catholic Bishops, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, has spoken on this issue, and they have cited, that was in January of 2003, They have cited Pope Pius XII. They have cited Pope John the 23rd, as well as John Paul II, as to the rights of people to cross borders in order to obtain employment and in order to support their families. We have a free transport of goods and services across borders, but we haven't reached the point where we legally have the free transportation of people across borders, and this is a basic human right, and with the idea that they are crossing in order to support their family and obtain employment.
Yeah, and you are finding some success with congregations signing on to this effort?
Yes, we have a lot of support from congregations in southeastern Wisconsin. We have one church that has agreed to host a family if and when that family requests sanctuary. Other than that, there are congregations that are providing material support, financial support, are willing to stand up for immigrants and give them that kind of support. Yes, we have a network.
We are talking with Joanne Lang, volunteer coordinator of the New Sanctuary Movement, for a Milwaukee group that works for immigrant rights. The group, Voces de la Frontera, is asking churches and congregations in southeastern Wisconsin to provide help, financial and moral support and shelter to illegal immigrants. We welcome your thoughts and questions about this. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. What do you think? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, coming up on 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, July the 18th. Coming up this afternoon, John Munson is in for Ben Marins for At Issue. After 5, prepare for the future. John will talk with a trends expert who provides a snapshot of what to expect for the second half of 2007. He talks with Gerald Salente, the founder director of the Trends Research Institute, after 5 this afternoon. We're talking about a movement in southeastern Wisconsin right now. It's called the New Sanctuary Movement, and it involves churches, synagogues, mosques, offering sanctuary for illegal immigrants. And we are talking with a spokesperson for the Milwaukee group that is asking congregations to join this effort. And we are welcoming your thoughts and questions about it at 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Should churches and other religions provide help to people who are in this country illegally? Is it moral to deport an illegal immigrant who has children, perhaps, born in this country, and those children are considered U.S. citizens? Or is it better to turn the other cheek? We welcome your thoughts and questions. Adam in Milwaukee is our first caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question for the guest. I just wondered if maybe she could clarify why our policies are immoral. Because I guess I kind of see it as they're here illegally, they don't pay taxes, they're stepping in front of other people who are going through, I guess, more standardized procedures. So if they're here illegally and we're trying to deal with them, I just don't understand exactly how we're being immoral.
I think we could compare this law, the immigration law that we have at present, to laws that have been changed in the past, such as slavery. That was an immoral law. However, it was legal to have slaves. We could talk about the voters' rights, women's rights to vote. That was changed because we felt that men and women equally should have access to the vote. And now at this point, we're talking about the immorality of our nation's immigration policies, which have quotas for different nations, which give preference to people of education over people who are everyday workers. So we need to have a new law. And in the meantime, as we wait for that law to pass, we have to do something for the suffering of these people. People who have come to do the work that's necessary in our country, they've been hired by employers in masses. We know that there are 12 million people that are sitting here waiting for some kind of resolution to the immigration issue. And since we have no hope for an immediate, meaning a passage of a new immigration law this year, something has to be done. And so we are offering this idea of sanctuary to make sure that this law gets passed, to bring this to the attention of our legislators as well as the public.
Is this illegal for churches to provide this help?
The Immigration and Nationality Act states that a person is guilty of a felony who conceals, harbors, or shields from detection an illegal alien. Our movement will not shield, harbor, or conceal from detection anyone. It is a very, very public movement. The family, as well as the congregation, will stand very publicly before the nation and say that they are sheltering, they are hosting, hosting an immigrant family.
Next we go to Joan in Shorewood. Hi, Joan, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Yes, I believe that we owe these human beings, who are not illegals, they're human beings, we owe them some assistance in light of the unjust immigration laws. The free trade agreement, NAFTA, created massive poverty in Mexico, and it did not raise all boats. It left the Mexican farmers destitute and huge numbers of Mexicans without any means of supporting their family. And, of course, they came north to find jobs. This is where the work is. We need them. They need us. It's not a crime to work. Just try to support your family. And they are caught in a system, a bureaucratic system. The government has lowered the quotas for people from Mexico, and they are caught in a system whereby they want to be documented, but they're caught up in this mess, and there is no hope at this time for a reform of the immigration laws, and they need some assistance now in order to prevent the living in massive fear of being deported or ending up in the outrageous detention centers on the border, mm-hmm. which are enriching companies like Halliburton and doing nothing at all to solve the problem.
I take it you agree, Joanne Lang?
Yes, I thank you for your addition. Thank you, Joan.
Yeah. It's not a crime to work, but what about the people who are waiting in line to come into the country legally? Is it fair to them?
They will certainly be treated first. Their applications are in process. No one is going to be able to move ahead of people who have already put their applications in. Is it unfair to them? I don't think so. The people that have been hiding in the shadows will naturally receive visas first. They won't be applying for citizenship immediately. All they're asking for is to stabilize, to document their condition here in the United States. That was one of the provisions of the law that was in the Senate, that a Z visa would be given to people who are working, who have a good work record, who have been paying their taxes, and who simply want to have their situation legalized. That doesn't mean that they are on the path to citizenship. It simply allows them to be a documented worker.
Talk about the people who were arrested in that raid that you mentioned at the Whitewater plant last August. They spoke to a congregation over the weekend in Milwaukee?
That's correct. The meeting in Milwaukee on Saturday was part of a 10-day tour of Wisconsin, and it was the second last stop. And on that tour, one of the workers spoke at every stop. She is one of the people that is in process of working through the courts, through the legal system, to get her situation stabilized. And she spoke about the terrible experience she had being arrested, along with, I believe, there were 30 others, I'm not sure the number. Some of them accepted voluntary deportation. Others are working through their cases through the court. Several other people spoke after the meeting about their own situation, how they feel that they have been working, they have been paying taxes, they own homes, they have children who are citizens, and this unexpected raid put them in a state of chaos. They are working with their lawyers, and hoping that they can receive some kind of legal status so that they continue to stay here and work.
Yeah, one has been threatened with deportation, and she was broken up because this she has two children who are U.S. citizens, and says this is tearing families apart.
That's right. Our focus for the sanctuary movement is on just such families, families who have children who are citizens, where one or both parents are not, and families that are in this legal process and under an order of deportation. They, however, these families have to consider whether they are going to refuse to report when they are actually being deported and then go into sanctuary. But we want families who have a good work record, and there are many, many of these. We want families that are viable under current law for citizenship, who are leaders in the movement, workers' movement, who have no criminal offenses. These are the people that would be perfect candidates for a sanctuary situation. Those that are in Whitewater are still under, are still working with their lawyers, and so they are not quite ready for sanctuary.
Mike in Richfield is with us. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I got two comments. The first is, I reject the idea that they would use a term like sanctuary. When sanctuary first came out, the idea of the movement, it was to protect people who were here as victims of political oppression, people who were here perhaps illegally, but they were here illegally not out of a economic choice. Now, when we talk about providing or conspiring, should I say, to allow people to stay here illegally, I really seriously think that we should start considering that organizations that are enjoying tax-free status should probably be considered or investigated as to whether they can maintain that tax-free status and go forward. And the second comment I wanted to make is perhaps these good, hardworking people that you're describing, I want you and your organization to consider that perhaps if they were staying in their home countries and applying these good, hardworking tendencies, that they could be fostering the change that would provide them and their families and their society with a better future, rather than using the United States as a pressure release valve for the failed policies in their countries of origin.
Yeah,
if these are the cream of the crop, then let's keep them in where they're at and let them work for change in their countries.
I'll have to get our guest to respond to your comments, both points, after news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, which is coming up next. Talking with Joanne Lang, volunteer coordinator of the New Sanctuary Movement for Voces de la Frontera, a workers' center in Milwaukee, talking about the group's efforts in getting churches, synagogues, mosques to sign on to the New Sanctuary Movement to provide help for illegal immigrants. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Wednesday, July the 18th. We're talking about the New Sanctuary Movement, a movement, an effort coordinated in part by our guest this hour, Joanne Lang, volunteer coordinator for the New Sanctuary Movement for Voces de la Frontera, an immigrants' rights group in Milwaukee. The group is contacting congregations, churches, synagogues, mosques, and asking them to provide help, financial help, moral support, including shelter for illegal immigrants facing deportation. We are talking about this effort and why our guest says it is the moral thing to do, and welcoming your thoughts and questions. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We heard from a caller, Mike, in Richfield, just before news time, Joanne Lang, who had a number of different points, and let me kind of run through those with you. He, first of all, objected to the use of the word sanctuary in the new sanctuary movement, saying that this should be limited to its original intent of protecting victims of political oppression in their own country.
I think the original meaning comes from the Middle Ages, where someone who was seeking protection would go to the local church or monastery, and they would be given protection within the building. I think what the caller was referring to was the movement of the 80s, and that was the sanctuary movement that responded to the repression and human rights violations in Central America. And those people were seeking asylum, and they were received here in secret for the most part, and people who participated, people of faith, congregations, religious groups, etc., promised not to divulge the names of the people or where they were hiding, and they were willing to be jailed as a result. The new sanctuary movement is new in the sense that it is no longer secret. It is of its essence, must be public. We seek publicity. If we have a family, as there are in many places throughout the United States, they will have press conferences. The family itself must be willing to do that. By the way, there are six cities in the United States which are hosting families in sanctuary, in religious groups, congregations, churches. They are New York, Los Angeles, San Diego, Chicago, Seattle, and Phoenix. And they all have gone public. There are articles written. There have been radio and TV interviews with the families and with the congregations. And, in fact, on August 14th, several more, at least a half dozen other cities, will be going public with their new families to add to this number.
Mm-hmm. What about the point, and I'm sorry, did you address whether he thinks that tax-exempt status should be examined in cases like this?
Well, I'm sure it will. There are some congregations that have said that is their fear, and so they would not host a family, but they will support in many other ways. And I don't think that their tax-exempt status will be contested if they provide financial support, if they help with the children, getting them to and from school, if they help with food for the family. There are many, many ways to participate in the sanctuary movement besides actually being the host church.
He also said the people coming into this country illegally looking for work, why don't they stay home and work to change their own country and not come here looking for work, but work for change in their own country?
Well, some of the article that I quoted earlier regarding Catholic teaching also states that the root causes of migration, one of which is injustice, others religious intolerance and poverty and so forth, must be addressed so that migrants can remain in their homeland and support their families. Now, what has happened is that the free trade agreements that have touched the families of Central America, especially Mexico, have caused these families to lose all possibility of work within their own countries. Their farms are being left. They cannot possibly raise corn to support their own families or to sell it on the market because Mexico is flooded with American corn thanks to the free trade agreements that allow the free passage of goods and services across borders, but not people. So we have an injustice there, and I know families personally that would love to live in their own country, would much prefer to stay at home, keep their farm, raise their children in Mexico or other Central American countries, but they are at the absolute worst stage. They cannot feed their families. They have to send somebody to the United States to work and send back money, or they have to go as a complete family and start a new life here.
Two more callers. Anne in Dubuque is with us now. Hi, Anne. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering what type of screening processes you have in place, You mentioned this being a multi-religious organization, and I want to know what things you're doing to ensure that your funding and help does not exceed into the hands of a terrorist group. I know that's an extreme thought, but you know, what are you doing to make sure that you're not getting involved with someone who's not here for the purposes that your organization started this movement for?
Well,
thank you.
The process of choosing a family, if I understand you right, is not a quick thing. We especially look for people who already are leaders in the immigrant rights movement, who are whose family, therefore, whose family is in jeopardy of being deported, or at least the parents are in the process of deportation. We work with the family. The churches, as I say, are choosing, would choose a family that they know. We would, the discernment process will certainly be very careful. We would insist that they have a good work record, that they have no criminal offenses at all. So I think that that process will be very slow and very exacting, and when a family is chosen.
So if a congregation signs on to host a family, for instance, what's entailed there? In terms of what kind of support is offered and what kind of hosting is done?
The family would reside within the confines of the church. In Chicago, the church front at St. Adalbert's is a very typical storefront church with an apartment upstairs. So the family, Elvira and her son, Elvira Arellano, live upstairs in the apartment. The church members bring food for them to cook. The church members take her son to and from school. There has to be a network of other churches besides the one that is hosting the family. It's impossible for one church to carry on with this responsibility for longer than 3 months or without a very good network of other churches and congregations supporting them.
Mm-hmm. Does your group have plans to go beyond the Milwaukee area with this movement?
We've received some contacts from upstate Wisconsin. And I don't feel free to say which ones mm-hmm. they are, but they are considering a sanctuary as well. And I'm sure when they have a family ready, that they will participate, as part of this movement requires, in a public press conference so that everyone will know exactly what they're doing.
Our guest is Joanne Lang, volunteer coordinator of the New Sanctuary Movement, for a Milwaukee group that is working for immigrant rights. The group Voces de la Frontera is asking churches in the Milwaukee area to provide help, financial aid, moral support, and shelter to illegal immigrants facing deportation. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. We wonder what you think about this. We wonder if you want your congregation to be involved in something like this, and why or why not. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 13 minutes before 7 o'clock. Coming up, another perspective on bottled water. You might recall last week I talked with a guest who said we should stop drinking bottled water, at least so much of it, because it's bad for the environment and our wallets. And tap water is better for the environment. Drink tap water, not bottled water. We'll get a different view when we hear from a guest from the International Bottled Water Association coming up after 7 o'clock. Our next caller is Dan in Madison. Hi, Dan. You're on the air.
Hi, Joy. I just wanted to first off applaud your guest. I think it's great what they're doing. And I really like the analogy about slavery and all of that, because I do think it is applicable in this situation. The next comment I wanted to make was just that I'm currently working as an electrical engineer, and I was actually forced into that because all the migrant worker positions were taken by illegal immigrants. So, you know, I couldn't do that, so now I have to be forced to be an electrical engineer, which with a lot more pay and a lot better benefits. And then the third thing I wanted to say was that a lot of people always use the tax you know, migrant workers or illegal immigrants or whatever, they don't pay any taxes. And they use that and they say, well, because, you know, they're here legally, so they don't file any taxes. But the fact of the matter is a lot of times these people actually do pay taxes. They get some, I'm not saying that this is the right thing to do, but this is, a lot of times they get false social security numbers and they use that for work permits. And then the employer still takes the tax funds out of their paychecks, just like they would for anybody else. The difference is that a lot of these people don't get any money back because they're not legal citizens, so they can't file a tax return.
So for example,
my father was actually an illegal immigrant, and he married my mother, and now he's legal resident or whatever it is of the United States. And so what he and his family used to do is they would go out and you could get a social security number that was for driving purposes only, and then they would use that for employment. And so he would still get all the taxes taken out of his paycheck. He just wouldn't get anything back at the end of the year.
Right, right. Dan, what did you mean when you said I was forced to become an electrical engineer because the immigrants took the other jobs? I didn't follow that.
Oh, my point is that it's not like these people are taking jobs that everybody is bidding for. My point is that these are migrant farmers who, but a lot of times nobody wants to do this job. And so they're actually filling a valuable service. I saw a thing on the History Channel the other day about machines. It was on Modern Marvels, and they were talking about machines that they could use to pick fruits and vegetables from Florida. And they're being forced to develop these machines because they don't have enough workers to pick these.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do this job.
Yeah, there's. I get it. I just didn't quite get the electrical engineer part of it, but I see what you mean. Joanne Lang?
I thought that was a very good analogy, or to feel that he's forced to be an electrical engineer, I had to laugh, because it is interesting that most people don't want to do the jobs that the immigrants we know are doing.
Yeah.
And we are complaining about something that doesn't exist. The whole issue of taxes, I think we have to publicize what the gentleman said over and over, is that people have been working for many years in companies that have been taking taxes out of their salaries, and they will never, ever see them again. Unless they have the courage to file a tax form in April, which I don't think they do, they will never see their refund. They will never see their Social Security benefits. And they don't have the courage to go and access public services. People always say that they're taxing our public services. That's not true. Perhaps the only thing would be that they send their children to public schools, but their children are citizens and have that right.
Dan and Toma, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good.
Oh, good. Listen, I have two quick questions for your guest. And by the way, you have a wonderful show. Second time I've heard it.
Well, thanks for calling.
Okay. My question is, how is the American people supposed to accept the fact that the these immigrants come into this country and work for much, much less more money than it would cost an American family to live? These fathers and mothers are having a hard time finding jobs that are making a decent dollar because of these immigrants. Second question, and then I'll hang up, is billions and millions of dollars a year is being shipped back to Mexico from these workers, illegal workers that come into this country to support their families in Mexico. That money has never circulated in this country one bit, never to buy a home, to buy milk, a car, take out loans, nothing. They don't recirculate that money. And then when they go to retire, they all move back to Mexico and their pension checks are all sent there. Now, how does she deal with this, or what does she have to say about that? Because that's got to be screwing up the deficit also.
All right. Joanne Lang?
Well, the first part about labor rights and low wages, this is the reason why the guest worker program is such an important program to watch very carefully. It's true that the wages can be kept down by people who accept low wages because they simply cannot speak up.
The labor leaders of our country are adamant that we must give labor rights to all workers, no matter whether they are citizens or otherwise. They want to represent the unions. Leaders want to represent labor of all types, whether it's immigrant workers or otherwise. The guest worker program has to include labor rights for all workers. It cannot be another type of slavery. And this is very, very important, so that salaries are living wage salaries for everyone. And he's right that we need to make sure that all workers have their rights and that salaries are commensurate with the work that is done. The second one, I don't know if it's really true that there's a problem with money being sent abroad back to families in Mexico. I don't imagine that very many immigrant workers have pension checks that they can collect. I think that would be probably not available. I don't think that there are any pensions for the kind of work that people do, day laboring, the type of work that many of our immigrant workers do.
George in Chippewa Falls. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. First of all, I must say that I think the sanctuary idea, I probably do agree with wholeheartedly. But I just want to, I guess, probably give a little bit of what experience I've had. First of all, my wife was born in Tokyo. Fortunately, she was born in an American hospital, so that made her an American citizen. But what I wanted to say is that I've done quite a bit of research, genealogy in regard to my family, and both sides are German, one generation back, two generations back. And what I found was that most of these left Germany for a reason, mainly the better life, but a lot of these had, to a degree, certain kinds of trouble. And, you know, this was minor type stuff, of course, but... what I wanted to say, also in conjunction with that, is
we're almost out of time, Georgia. So I don't want to. I'm wondering if you want to respond to that, Joanne Lang. But I wanted to bring up that people who my parents immigrated from Europe too. But a lot of people say that was done legally, and this what we're talking here is illegal immigration.
I think my response would be that at the time that our parents came, or our grandparents, I guess, would be more likely the case. The process was so simple. You got on a boat, you landed in New York or on the West Coast, and you went through a very simple process, and then you were legal. Our processing is, and our laws are so much more complicated now, and the quotas that have been established since then limit the number of people from certain countries, and they limit people who are lacking in education, who can only work with the sweat of their backs. I think things are different now, and that's why we need a new immigration law.
Yeah. Thank you very much, George. Tom and Mequon's been waiting. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to point out two things. I blame the absolute top people in the government for these problems because there's two laws I'd like to point out. One is that that to make it legal for someone to be legal here just because they're born here is wrong, and this is the last industrialized country that allows that. I'd like to see that stopped. The other thing is there's laws from the very top that force the school districts to take illegal immigrants' children, and that's wrong also.
Well, again, we're running short on time. I didn't need a long, long list, but what about it's not right that the children born to illegal immigrants are U.S. citizens, Joanne Lang?
That's been our law for a long time. I don't think it's unjust. I think it's fair. If it is changed, I think it would be sad. Our daughter was born in Bolivia. She could have been a Bolivian citizen if we had chosen. That was no problem. It was just a matter of filing the right papers. She was born on Bolivian soil, so she had the right to be a Bolivian citizen. I don't know that the U.S. is the last country to allow this. I'd have to look that up.
Yeah, I did see someone from an anti-illegal immigration group saying that the parents who are deported for being here illegally are not being forced to leave their children behind. Anytime parents break the law, they put their families at risk, according to this person. Isn't that true?
Yes, they do. Mm. Yes. And that is the reason for the sanctuary movement, because They have to make a terrible choice. Am I going to leave my children behind with strangers, with family members, or am I going to take them to a country they've never been in and perhaps don't even speak the language of?
Mm-hmm. And if people want more information, do you have a website or a number?
Yes, we do. The Voces de la Frontera is located on 5th Street. Its number is 414-643-1620. And our website is www.vocesdelafrontera.org.
I'll spell that. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. The Voces de la Frontera is VOCESDELAFRONTERA. You probably didn't get that, so we'll try to put a link on our website on the program note for this program. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour and to Christina Taylor for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.